Hello, everyone, and happy Sunday. Just before taking the mic, I happened to see something, and it affected me, so I just want to talk about that first, if you don't mind. I saw a post in Facebook about some girls, teenage girls, who put fireworks in a dog's mouth. And the post had the picture of the dog covered in blood. And I saw that, I mean, just minutes ago. So I felt this sadness. And I just don't feel like running right into something else. I feel like just being with this for a moment. And here it is, time to take the mic and teach seven steps. But if you don't mind, since I felt a very genuine sadness when looking at this picture, I'd like to just pause and look at this. So I'm just going to pause and look at this with you all, and then we'll get to the seven steps. So there's a deep sadness here. I don't know how to describe it. It's like an inward agonizing moan. I suppose that's the best way to describe it. An inward agonizing moan. And if I, you know, just let the ego speak for a moment and express its thoughts, the thought is, how could someone be so cruel to something so innocent, so trusting, and so unsuspecting, and also without the ability to understand that cruelty? And now I'm just being silent for a moment because I'm just resting with this sadness. I seem to feel it in both my heart and my face. And I suppose I feel it in both the heart and the face. The heart feels broken, like a broken heart. Like I'm disappointed in humanity again. And I suppose I feel it in the face because, you know, that's where the tears appear. That's where they gather somehow and appear. So that's where I notice it in the body. The next thing I notice when I look is that, again, there's anger in the mind. I'm just letting that anger in the mind be, that sadness in the heart be. Just to be perfectly honest, you know, there's a part of me, the part of me that wants to look at this with inquiry. There's a part of me that wants to move into awareness and notice this sadness, these tears, and the anger, although the anger right now has faded, it's being consumed by the sadness. There's a part of me that wants to look at this and notice that it's an object and shift to awareness. But there's another part of me that's very angry at that, so I'm going to stay there for a moment. This isn't the anger right now at, you know, at what happened. to the dog. This is the anger of the ego for me wanting to take attention away from what we call the illusion and to place it on reality. The ego, again, if I was to put words to it, it's screaming that this is disrespectful to the dog and to all victims of cruelty. To just so quickly deny it, to so quickly shift into awareness is disrespectful, highly disrespectful. So, in a way, what I feel to do for a moment is honor that voice. Honor that voice for its feelings. And then shift. And there's something that feels very genuine about that. Instead of ignoring the voice, honoring the voice for its feelings. And then after I honored the voice for its feelings, what I could feel was a genuine shift. And this genuine shift came with the remembrance that if I stay stuck in the illusion, if I stay stuck in the anger, in the blame, that my energy is a part of the problem. And with that came this opening feeling and this realization that I want to be a part of the solution, which is the remembrance of truth. That where remembrance of truth is, these types of situations cannot even arise. And now I do not have any lingering attachment to the ego voice. I feel genuinely shifted away from it. And I don't feel any disrespect of the situation. But I feel a genuine freedom and peace and happiness arising in me. And if I give a voice to this genuine freedom and peace and happiness and joy, it's like a celebration gratitude, but you have to make that one word. It's like a celebration gratitude at the choice to remember truth. I do feel a genuine respect for suffering right now. It's different than the respect the ego spoke about when it wanted me to stay stuck in the anger and the blame and the hurt. This would be more what we would call compassion. And I'm grateful to know that self-realization is the answer to all problems. And I'm grateful to make the choice for self-realization myself. I'm grateful now to move into awareness. My attention is shifting away from the story. Into awareness. And what I feel now is a desire to just abide there. desire just to abide in awareness, watching awareness. Awareness being awareness. Out of respect for peace. And the song that's coming to my mind now is, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. But the tone of that, as it's coming to me, is, you know, what the world needs now is the peace of abiding in truth realization. And I even feel a gratitude to myself for making this choice. My attention has just gone back for a moment to the girls who placed the fireworks in the dog's mouth. And I just want to be with the thought of them in peace. Abide as my true self, while the thought of them is present in the mind. And now my attention is shifting to the animal. And I feel the same, to stay in the heart, to stay in the peace, to embrace the thought of this animal with the awareness of my true self. And I just want to abide here. I don't feel to move from here. So what I'm going to do to give myself the opportunity to do that is I'm going to pick a song that is quiet and just allow myself to abide for a little bit. So here's a song called Om Ah Hum. It's about 5 minutes long, and I think that will be good for me. So I'm just going to play this song and then just close my eyes and abide. Thank you. now, after having taken the time to move through that process, I feel genuine love for these teenage girls as my daughters, you know, the same. Just genuine love. And of course, genuine love for the animal too. So there's nothing there now but love, and so I feel complete. And thank you very much for letting me do that. It didn't seem appropriate. It took about 20 minutes, didn't it? But it didn't seem appropriate to ignore that pain and go into teaching, the scheduled teaching, the 7 steps to awakening. Because it doesn't feel right to me to ever ignore pain. If there is pain, there is an opportunity for healing. And so I just wanted to embrace that. I just wanted to take that. And thank you for letting me do that. One thing I would like to say on the recording is that last week I taught the third part of quote 773. But what happened at the end of the hour was there was some kind of a runtime error, and as a result, the recording was not saved. So if some of you are following these recordings in order, and you saw a part one and a part two, and you knew there was to be a part three, and then there isn't, this is why. One thing I would like to do, and maybe someday I will do, is I would like to go back and re-contemplate that portion of the 773 journal entry and do the recording again. It's just that right now I seem to be in one of those times when there's a lot of things that need my attention and there really isn't any free time. And it takes at least, you know, 45 minutes to an hour of free time to do that. So maybe someday I'll get to go back and do that. It would be a joy for me to do so, but I won't be able to do that in the immediate future as far as I know, unless something changes. Today, we are beginning with quote 774, and I will put a link to that journal entry in the room for anyone who may be interested in it. I think I will. There we go. The computer didn't respond right away. So for anyone who wants to read the journal entry, I am posting that in the room. And let me read the quote for you. The quote 774 from the 7 Steps to Awakening says, "The wise who have experienced reality call the mind ignorance." The wise who have experienced reality call the mind ignorance. And what comes to my mind right now as I read that is one thing that I have been becoming more and more aware of lately through my own spiritual practice is what the false self really is. I'm able to see it with a clarity that I've never had before. So it's like I can see the false self, really. That's kind of nice. It's such a, you know, it seems complex, but actually when you stand outside of it and look at it, I think it's actually fairly simple. And all that the false self is, at least from the perspective that I have right now, all that the false self is identification with thoughts and feelings, and especially linking that identification to memories of similar circumstances or to futuristic imagination of similar circumstances. And as we identify with thoughts and emotions, then link it to either the memory or the imagination of similar circumstances, what happens is we create an identity. For example, we just saw that I saw a post of a dog being harmed in Facebook, and I felt sadness and for a period of time some anger. If I was to identify with those feelings, and notice I didn't ignore the feelings, If I remember, I'll come back to that. I didn't ignore the feelings. I looked at the feelings. I moved through the feelings in a genuine way. I attended to the ego's objections. and I moved through the feelings in a genuine way, which I believe is what our job is to do. But there's a difference between looking at feelings and moving through them in a genuine way and identifying with them. So let me see if I can express that difference. The difference is, if I identify with the feeling of being sad by how this dog was injured, and then I maybe link it to some previous memories of other times in my life when I read about or was around a pet, you know, like my dog Jamie is a rescue pet, so maybe I could, you know, move into that thought and you know, just link it to similar circumstances in the past and maybe even have some imagination there, you know, like some imagination of, you know, maybe in the future I'll donate some money to this organization that helps abused pets and maybe I'll get more involved in this way. So that's just thinking, which is why I called imagination. But if I pull all of that together and identify with that, I may start to see myself as I don't know the word for it, you know, as someone an animal activist, would that be a good term? And I see myself as an animal activist. I may even see myself as someone who's compassionate to animals. And there's nothing wrong with feeling compassion for animals. I just did that. The difference is the identification. I see myself as someone who's compassionate. I see myself as an animal rights activist. That's what I was looking for, right? As an animal rights activist. And I create these identifications. And then, of course, once I create those identifications, I have the added benefit from the ego's point of view in that now that I have defined myself as an animal activist, and of course, I'm very proud of that because that's on the good side of the team, right? I'm on the good side. I wear the white hat. And so now I can take my identity and I can use it to pick out those people who are on the bad side. You know, like these teenage girls. And you know, maybe I watch, Jasmine used to watch this TV show about people who rescued animals. And of course, there were always the bad guys, the people that weren't taking care of the animals or were abusing the animals, right? So I can pick on all these bad guys and I can see myself as good and them as bad. And the ego just thrives in all of this. Well, what the quote says that the wise who have experienced reality call the mind ignorance. If I am to identify with thoughts and feelings, remember I did just have those thoughts and feelings, right? They did arise when I looked at that post. So the thoughts and feelings arose, but the thoughts and feelings came, I paid them their due, and then the thoughts and feelings left. Like there's nothing in me that's stuck with that anymore. I feel free. Right? Nor do I in any way feel identified. It's something that arose. I felt to give it attention. I gave it attention and it passed. The wise who have experienced reality call the mind ignorance. What is the I that happily sat down at the computer a little bit early to get a couple of things done, including checking to see if there was anything in Facebook I needed to attend to? That's when I saw the post. What is the I that sat down, or it was there when the sitting down happened, and this happily, you know, oh, maybe I'll get a couple things done, opportunity arose, that was still present when the post was seen and the sadness happened and the anger happened, that is still present now in the aftermath while we're looking at this, and that is still going to be present, you know, a month from now when I don't even remember this. What is that I that is always here, always constant? Everything else comes and goes, shifts and changes, but that's always here. And as you all know, that's what I am. And if I look very, very carefully at that, that which doesn't change, that which is constant, that which is always here, that awareness that has no concepts in it, if I pay attention to that, it's undeniable that that is what I am. And I can see that that is present, whether I identify myself as an animal rights activist or not. It's still the truth of what I am, regardless of whether I identify with an idea or do not identify with an idea. It's the truth. And I can see that very, very clearly if I pause and look. So with this realization that this is what I am, that this as what I am cannot change, to then identify with the idea that I'm an animal activist and really try and place my selfness there, seems ignorant. It seems like an idea that denies the truth. And if it's an idea that denies the truth, what else would you call it but ignorance, right? The more that we pay attention to awareness as what we are, the more that we watch it with sustained periods of time, in awareness, watching, awareness, meditation, and the more that we also just remember to pause and glimpse it throughout the more active part of our day, the more we are certain that that is what we are, because it's always there. Every time we check for it, every time we look for it, it's there. It's never, ever, ever not there. And it's me. It's what I am, right? I mean, you can just see it over and over and over again. So as you see it over and over and over again, you just begin to know that's what I am. And then, even though other experiences come and go, to identify with those experiences and say, that's what I am, well, it just doesn't feel genuine. It can't be what I am. I can't be an animal rights activist. It can't be what I am. Even if I send a donation off, if I feel moved to send a donation off, or if I feel moved to adopt a rescued animal, or if I feel moved to start, an animal foster home, right, where the animals are coming, being cared for until they can be adopted and then going and being adopted. Even if I get involved, if I feel moved to get involved, I still can't identify myself as an animal activist. Other people might, you know, based on my involvement. But I can't identify myself in that way because I know what I am. This is just something that's being done right now. The giving of money, the rescuing of pets, right? It's what's happening right now. But it's not what I am. So again, quote 774, the wise who have experienced reality call the mind ignorance. And I would say, I really feel that he's talking about attachment to the mind, right? That belief that I am that attachment to thought. The mind itself is also pretty ignorant. It says some pretty crazy things. But the mind has a purpose as well. You know, like right now I'm working with Bruce primarily to build a new website, and that does require mental attention. And the mind is very, very good at helping me with that kind of a task, right? So I don't think the mind itself needs to be called ignorance. It can be called an effective tool. It's the believing of the mind as me and the believing that all the mind's chatter is wisdom and is right. That's the ignorance, right? The wise who have experienced reality call the mind ignorance. Let's go and have a peek at the journal entry. The journal entry for 774, which was written on March 31st, 2014. And I always give the date just because the journal entry is written based on where I was then. If I was to contemplate the quote today, the journal entry would be different, right? Right. So it's important to kind of have that perspective. We're looking at where I was when I contemplated this quote on March 31st, 2014. So here's what the journal entry says. It is time now for full surrender. What is full surrender? It is realization that the mind does not know. Regardless of how much the mind thinks it knows, regardless of how much it carries about bundles upon bundles of thinking, the mind is complete ignorance. Full surrender is realizing this and then being moved by something else. Something that isn't mind. Something that pays no attention to mind. It helps to pray and ask for continued guidance. It helps to be humble and remember that mind knows nothing. So what I see here is a person who was much more identified with mind than I am today. But a person who had already achieved the clarity of seeing that being identified with mind is not wisdom. Right? The quote refers to the wise. And being identified with the mind is not being the wise. So this clarity had already been achieved. And what I wanted as I was contemplating this quote was to do anything that I could to break identification with that mind, because I saw that it was foolish. I saw that it was ignorant, and yet I also saw that I was still identified. And so when I had that desire to break identification with mind, and I'm contemplating this quote, the wisdom that arose up was basically, instead of listening to mind, listen to intuition. Start feeling the difference between mind and intuition, or I would have to say continue, because I have been doing this for some years at this point, but continue feeling the difference between mind and intuition. Let go of mind and follow intuition. Another thing that I've noticed about myself lately, you know, as you go along this path and as you continue to practice for yourself, right, there seems to be this continuous evolution. So there's always something to notice. I see Vamako's question. I will attempt to get back to that. First, let me finish this thought. If I can, it might already be gone. Oh, you're talking about a stiff neck. Well, I'm not really referring to physical pain so much when I talk about pain. I'm referring to emotional pain. Physical pain happens. If I had a stiff neck, I'd take ibuprofen. Maybe do a little bit of neck yoga. That's what I would do. And I did forget my previous thought, so I will just have to move on. The wise who have experienced reality call the mind ignorance. And as I was mentioning, at the point when I wrote this journal entry. I know what I was going to say. I wanted to get better at tuning into intuition. Here's what I was going to say. I have observed myself recently. I've observed that, again, this connection, this tuning into intuition instead of listening to the mind is, I guess getting better and better and better. I've noticed how much better I get at saying no to people and at being perfectly honest with people, even if I think they don't want to hear what I'm about to say, as I pay attention to intuition. And it's kind of amazing because it's almost like, not that I'm not nice, I think that I am. Probably, like if we were to get into the comparativeness, probably very nice, compared to a lot of people. So it's not that I'm not nice. It's just that I'm not afraid. And, if somebody wants my time, for example, and I know that really that's not the way I am to spend my time, I can just say no. I have other things I need to be doing. I'm sorry, I don't have time. Where once upon a time I would have squeezed them in anyway, even though I didn't really have the time, and then I would have created my own problem, right? So in that way, what I find when I really am deeply engaged in intuition is that Regina, the person Regina was, is not there. Because Regina would have wanted to be nice no matter what. At all costs, if she could be, she would want to be nice. And she would sacrifice her own intuitive guidance in order to be nice. So it's interesting that as we let go of the mind, which is that identification with thought, that identification with, I'm nice, as we let go of that identification with thought and we follow the intuition in a very genuine way, what we find is the false self isn't there. The way the false self would have acted, the way the false self would have responded, the false self isn't there because the false self is identification with thought, and this is, you could call it, a different source. Intuition is a different source. And I think this is what sometimes makes it hard for people to follow intuition, because the identification with thought is too strong. And so if I'm nice, if that's who I am, if that's who I need to be, and the guidance is, from that perspective, harsh or not considerate or not caring about someone else, which is never true, but that's the perspective of the one who wants to be nice, then I don't follow it because that's not who I am. I'm nice. I try to make everybody feel cared about. That's who I am. Do you hear the identification in that? Recently I was reading I Am That by Nisargadatta Maharaj, and I was reminded of one of the messages where Nisargadatta says that there are really two ways to awaken. One is to follow an external teacher, and the other is to follow an internal teacher. This is what Nisargadatta was saying in this particular message. But Nisargadatta said, either way, whether you follow the external teacher or the internal teacher, you need to surrender completely and obey completely. Wow. whether it's the external teacher or the internal teacher, you need to surrender completely and obey completely. And if you look at that, it makes perfect sense, because if you don't, you're holding on to the identification with thought. I'm the nice person, or I'm the responsible person, or I'm the whatever. And so I can't do that, whatever is being guided or being asked. I can't do that. It doesn't fit with my image of myself. But you can also see that if you do what Nisargadatta recommends, if you surrender completely and obey completely, that false self isn't in the intuition. It's not there. And so if you continue to live by that intuition, your attachment to the false self, your belief that you are what you're identified with, it's gonna die. Because you're gonna quit seeing yourself acting out that role, right? And this is the value of surrender. It undoes the idea that I am what I'm identified as. It says something about this in NTI Acts too. NTI Acts says something about how the Holy Spirit will not guide you to do what you expect, because what you expect comes from who you think you are. And the Holy Spirit is not here to reinforce who you think you are. The Holy Spirit is here to undo who you think you are. And that's a real blow to the ego, a real blow to the ego. Because if the ego is really attached to, you know, I'm a helpful person, boy, it doesn't want to follow that guidance that appears to be saying no to somebody's plea for help. But the idea that you are these ideas that you're identified with is not true, and it has to be undone. And following intuition, surrendering completely and obeying is one part of that undoing of that identification. Because if you just keep listening to the mind, you're just going to keep reinforcing your own ideas about who you are. So the wise who have experienced reality call the mind ignorance. And again, the journal entry is, it is time now for full surrender. What is full surrender? It is realization that the mind does not know. Regardless of how much the mind thinks it knows, regardless of how much it carries about bundles upon bundles of thinking, the mind is complete ignorance. Full surrender is realizing this and then being moved by something else. Something that isn't mind. Something that pays no attention to mind. It helps to pray and ask for continued guidance. It helps to be humble and remember that the mind knows nothing. So again, that was my own commitment to get better at paying attention to intuition instead of being identified with the mind. And so now I am moving on to quote 775. The sage who stands in the eternal, the true self of being, ever full of the secondless bliss of the self, has none of the hopes fitted to time and space that make for the formation of a body of skin and flesh subject to dissolution. That's kind of saying that the sage doesn't have a bucket list. Yesterday, we went to a car show because that's a part of what we do. I didn't actually see this, but my boyfriend saw it and told it about me. One of the classic cars apparently had some kind of a sign on it saying, you know, something like, this was on the bucket list, right? And I laughed at my boyfriend because a classic car has always been on his bucket list ever since I've really known him, which has been, I can't remember, 25 or 26 years. He's wanted a classic car, and of course last year he finally got one, so his bucket list is now being fulfilled. But this is saying that the sage doesn't have a bucket list. The sage is just being. It doesn't mean that we won't observe that body going places and doing things and apparently accomplishing goals. Because bodies move. Bodies do. But the sage is not identified with any of that. See, we're back to, are you identified with it? It's like I said, you know, and I don't expect this to happen in the Regina lifetime, but let's say I did somehow become involved in animal rescue, you know, like I opened up a foster home where the animals were brought here and I cared for them until they were healthy enough to be adopted. You know, that activity could happen for the next 20 years of my life. And everybody else may see me as, you know, as an animal rescuer, for example. But I'm just being and doing what is coming to me to do. I am not identified with the position of animal rescuer. And I know that at some point, this position of animal rescuer will come to an end in one way or another. And I, what I am, will continue on. So I don't have an identification with what is present, even right here, right now, nor do I have an identification that would lead me to have a bucket list. Like someday I really want to, you know, own a little house on the beach. You know, and just have a cat. Or whatever. You know, that idea that I want to own a little house on the beach and have a cat, that would come from identification with ideas. So again, 775 says, the sage who stands in the eternal, the true self of being, ever full of the secondless bliss of the self. In other words, there's nothing that is second to it, right? The sage who stands in the eternal, the true self of being, ever full of the secondless bliss of the self, has none of the hopes fitted to time and space that make for the formation of a body of skin and flesh subject to dissolution. And it sounds like this might even be pointing towards reincarnation, like the sage does not have a bucket list that would cause him or her to be reincarnated. But you know, I don't want to comment on that kind of stuff because then I'm getting into things I know nothing about. You know, maybe I've read these types of things and I can believe these types of things, but I don't know anything about these types of things. So I don't want to comment on that. But I do think it's good that we pay attention to if we are simply being in the joy of truth, then everything else comes as it comes and goes as it goes, and we have no attachments to ideas that would cause us to have a bucket list, right? And for those of you who, if you don't know what a bucket list is, a list of things that you want to do before you kick the bucket, before you die, right? Let's look at the journal entry for 775. Watch that mind. It is always wishing, always desiring, always dreaming. Now, the funny thing is, this was written again on March 31st, 2014, and in no way can I tell you what I may have thought I wanted then, right? I cannot say, oh, and on this day, March 31, 2014, I was really dreaming of, you know, X. I really wanted X. I can't tell you, which shows how meaningless the dreams actually are and how they have nothing to do with what I am, right? But there was something there, or this journal entry wouldn't have got written, right? There was something there. So watch that mind. It is always wishing, always desiring, always dreaming. What are these wishes, these desires, these dreams? It is the stuff continued dreams are made of. And the next sentence says, you know this is true, and I do know that's true. There's something in me that's always known that, that as I continue to dream and continue to want something from form, I will continue identification with form. Right? The two go hand in hand, and I do know this. So continuing to dream and desire continues the identification with the false self. They go hand in hand. What are these wishes, these desires, these dreams? It is the stuff continued dreams are made of. You know this is true. You have seen your past wishes come into manifestation. You have also seen that those manifestations are simply more distraction from reality. They pull you more from that which is reality and more into that which is a dream. And yet, even though this is seen clearly, dreaming, wishing, desiring continues. At least it is being seen. It is being recognized. This is a first step. Now it is time to move from the first step to the final step. The step that allows the end of dreams is disengaging from the dreaming mind. Stay still within, completely disengaged from mind. Be moved by something that is not mind. Let dreams go completely. Dreams only result in continued dreaming. Dreams do not awaken. I mentioned that I was recently reading I Am That by Nisargadatta Maharaj. Another thing that I read in there and was reminded of, because I've read I Am That a few times, so everything is just a reminding of at this point. But when he's giving someone the advice about how to become self-realized, he tells them to go ahead and finish whatever it is that he started that needs to be finished. You know, whatever it is that you started that needs to be finished, go ahead and finish it. And he says, but don't start anything new. And then he says, if something comes on its own, attend to that. Right? So that's pretty interesting. First of all, anything that you've already started, go ahead and finish. Complete that. So, you know, if you had a kid, go ahead and finish raising that kid. go ahead and if you have a lot of debt and you need to work and pay those debts, go ahead and work and pay those debts. Finish whatever you started. Bring it to completion. But don't start anything new. Isn't that kind of like saying don't dream about what else you want? Don't start anything new. And of course, you would use any free time that becomes available for, in his words, focusing on the I Am presence. Right? Finish what you started. Don't start anything new. But then, if something comes on its own, you didn't start it, but it comes, trust that and attend to that. You know, so if somehow it came, like let's say I don't have the idea to become a foster parent of animals because, you know, I'm not starting anything new. I'm not identified with being an animal activist. But then Ron says, you know what? I would really like it if we became foster animals for parents. I think that'd be a good thing for us to do in our retirement. And I got this application. I filled it out. But then I do it because it came on its own, right? It's kind of interesting watching that part, don't start anything new of your own volition. That's a big challenge for me, and I would suspect it's a big challenge for everyone. But that's because we're still dreaming. We're still creating, oh, and I want to do this, oh, and I want to do this, and we start it on our own, and the dream just goes on and on and on, the identification goes on and on and on. So if we can finish what we've already started, and then not start anything new, there are things that will come of their own, but of our own volition, put that aside. Don't have a bucket list. Don't have anything else you need to do, anything else you need to accomplish from your own will. Because all of that comes from identification with thought. All of that comes from identification with thought. I want to whatever. Isn't that a thought that I've just identified with? And with that, my time is up, so I'm going to release the mic. Thanks for coming and hanging out with me tonight. Bye-bye.